Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone. For those that don't know me, my name is Dave Kasevich, and I am the head of school at St. James Episcopal School. And seeing a few new faces, so tell you a little bit about St. James. St. James is an Episcopal day school located in the Allegheny West neighborhood of North Philadelphia. If you're coming down the Schuylkill and you see the intersection of Roosevelt Boulevard and City Ave, we're at that intersection, right by Laurel Hill Cemetery. We educate kids in grades 4 through 8. All of our students lived in an underserved neighborhood. Only about 42% of young people end up graduating from high school, and we prepare our kids to attend and succeed in great high schools throughout the region. This parish of St. Peter's, you've been partnering with us for close to 8 years now, and we are the school that is because of your support, and I share our gratitude for your support. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is from Luke, and we're looking at verses 21 through 30 today. And to talk about today's sermon, today's gospel, we have to look at last week's gospel, which was from Luke also, verses 14 through 21 of the fourth chapter. So let's just take a moment to remind ourselves where we are in this story of Jesus. Jesus has been baptized. He has been overcome. He's overcome the temptations in the wilderness, and he has returned to the synagogue of his childhood in Nazareth. And he reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he declares to the people of Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Those words from Isaiah and Jesus' comment on them form what has become known as Jesus' inaugural address. Right? This is who he is. Some would describe this as this is what the politics of Jesus are about. He has established his priorities. He described the character of what he's about and the direction of his ministry. It's very clear where Jesus is headed. With those words, Jesus has outlined his political platform: good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, and declaring God's favor, right here, right now. Last Sunday was also about the politics of Jesus. And today's gospel is the second half of that story. And today I want to talk to you about the politics of Nazareth. The politics of Nazareth. And the politics of borders. The politics of borders in the light of Jesus' politics. Politics that we're talking about today is much more than about elections and governmental process. When I speak of politics today, I mean the ways in which we are living out our relationship with each other, the way we're interacting with each other, the way we are getting along or not getting along as people, individuals, groups, and our society. More and more, I don't know about you, but more and more, in our political undertone of our country, we are creating boundaries, building walls, and establishing borders. We separate and divide ourselves against each other so that the border control now defines our relationship with the other. And border control is the heart of today's gospel, the conflict between Jesus and the people of Nazareth in today's gospel. And it seems to be at the heart of our own political story today in 2019. Let me give you a few examples, some global examples and some real life examples that I've experienced in my life at St. James School. But let's start nationally first. In Washington, D.C. right now, and that this could be a whole nother sermon, but we have clear boundaries. We're creating boundaries that are being built and strengthened between Republicans and Democrats, and even with those group lines that are being drawn over who is a real Democrat, who is a real Republican, who is a real Democrat, who is a true Republican. A border stands at the center of the debate concerning immigration, refugees, gun control, and I would also say education. Now, unfortunately, education has not been part of the dialogue recently. Education has completely dropped from our national discourse. And yet it is the root of so many of our problems. Some of you may be familiar with Dr. Gary Orfield. He's an education professor and co-director of the Civil Rights Project at UCLA. And he has written extensively on the fact that our nation's public schools are more segregated now than they were in the 1960s. Some of you are nodding, you've heard this. And I experience this daily in my life at St. James. According to Orfield, part of the backslide is due to the rulings by the U.S. Supreme Court over the past two decades. That includes the landmark decision in 2007, invalidating Seattle's public schools' voluntary desegregation plan, which used race as a factor in school zoning decisions. Many of the nation's schools are segregated by ethnicity and poverty, and for some minority students, especially the soaring Latino population, the segregation is also by language. While the nation and our racial barriers are lower in many ways, those advances have not been enough to cancel out the effect of inadequate political leadership. Wherever you find racism, prejudice, or discrimination, you will inevitably find walls. Our economic system has created a stark separation between the rich and the poor. Even within our own Anglican communion, we remain divided over which boundaries contain the correct interpretation of Scripture. And when it comes to our personal relationships, I'm not sure about you, but I have boundaries in my personal relationships and walls with people I love, friends I no longer talk to, people I may unlike on Facebook. But I have created boundaries in my own life and walls. And I'm sure each of us can name the walls and barriers that have stood at the center of conflicts in our own lives, whether at work or personal. There is another kind of boundary that I would like to talk to you about today that I have personally experienced in our neighborhood where I live at St. James. And it's the boundary of life expectancy in Philadelphia. Did anyone see the article in the Inquirer a couple weeks ago about life expectancy in Philadelphia based on zip code? Few of you, right? A distance of only a few miles can produce a profound difference in how long you will likely live, according to the new Associated Press analysis of data from the National Center for Health Statistics. For example, the average life expectancy at birth in a census tract in Philadelphia's Strawberry Mansion neighborhood, which is the neighborhood, as many of you have been to St. James, just south of our graveyard, is the region's lowest, 64 years old. That figure rises to 92 years old right here in this county in the Great Valley. Some of you are looking forward to 92, I can tell. That's a 28-year difference between my neighborhood and this neighborhood. And there's a similar example of that with our neighborhood in East Falls, which we can see from our property. These life expectancy numbers are a stunning shorthand for a host of other demographic barriers: inadequate education, insufficient income, unemployment levels, community and family violence, lack of health insurance, and race. And for those who study poverty or who advocate for the poor, data like this speaks volumes about the biases regarding race. These barriers keep people who are different from us in a ghetto. And it's not a word we use that often anymore. But when you look at even St. James School, St. James School is a ghetto. Our kids, as wonderful as they are, and as fabulous as St. James School is, our kids don't have a lot of opportunities to go beyond the walls of St. James. I'll share an example with you of a barrier and a wall. One of our graduates, Destiny, some of you know her. She's a sophomore at Springside Chestnut Hill Academy, and she's doing really well. She often gets a ride with friends or her mother to school, and she sometimes takes the bus up Germantown Avenue. And many of you know the kids have to get off on Germantown Avenue and then walk 6 or 8 blocks to the school. For many years, you may have heard in the Inquirer that neighbors have been calling the police when African-American kids are walking through the neighborhood. In fact, St. Martin's Episcopal Church has offered members of their church to walk kids through the neighborhood to get to Springside Chestnut Hill. Destiny and her friends, other African-American friends, they've been told not to wear their hoods on their coats and their sweatshirts when they leave the campus and they'll walk to the bus. These are examples of barriers and walls that we don't have to experience. Another example that I would like to share with you. I recently was at a meeting with about this many parents and guardians at St. James School. And I know them well enough that I asked a really hard question. And they were really honest with me. And the question was this. I asked them, how many of you have ever been pulled over by the police out of the blue, or how many of you have ever been followed in a department store for no reason? 100% of their hands went up. 100%. I was shocked. And I asked myself at that time, that's never happened to me, and I ask you, has that ever happened to you? And how many of our hands would go up? Another barrier, another wall. Another example I'll share with you is some of you know the Saunders family at St. James School. Miss Saunders is one of our grandmothers. She is a gem. She is a gem. She is full of wisdom. And she loves flowers, loves gardening, loves caring for flowers, and loves seeing flowers. And she would have loved these flowers on your altar here. She and her friend have a 10-year tradition of visiting Longwood Gardens. Two of them get on to SEPTA, go to Wilmington, and get on a bus to Longwood Gardens. In the early years they would do this, they tell me that they were followed by security guards and were questioned several times about their plans for visiting Longwood. These two women love Longwood and love flowers too much to let these fellows get in their way. Both women decided they needed to look a certain way to pass muster. So now they visit dressed formally and professionally as possible. Since then, they've never been followed or questioned. Persistence, but a sad story. Whether our borders are geographical, physical, religious, educational, they first exist and arise within us. What I've come to realize is that whenever we build walls or establish borders, two things usually happen. First, we put others on the right side, the good side, the inclusive side of the wall, and some other person or group on the outside. Second, it's not long before securing and defending our borders that we become more important, that those become more important than the people on the other side. We no longer see their pain, hear their cries, or care much about their well-being. At best, they become issues to be resolved or problems to be fixed. It happens even without noticing. A recent example happened last week where one of our very dedicated volunteers who comes to visit with us once a week and work in our library, and she's been really impressed with one of our teachers, Miss Nalabega, who is of African descent. And she walked up to her and said, "I'm so impressed with you. You are such an articulate speaker." Wow. So out of her heart, Miss Nalabega was wondering, well, why wouldn't I be articulate? Why wouldn't I be educated? It's little things that can set up walls and barriers. Race is a social construct, scientists argue. Racial categories are weak proxies for genetic diversity and need to be phased out. More than 100 years ago, the American sociologist W.E.B. Du Bois was concerned that race was being used as a biological explanation for what he understood to be the social and cultural differences between people different, who are different than us. He spoke out against the idea of white and black. He claimed that these distinctions ignore the scope of human diversity. Today, science would favor Du Bois. Today, the mainstream belief among scientists is that race is a social construct without biological meaning. Today's gospel is a reminder to us that there is no room for borders and walls in the politics of Jesus. To the contrary, boundary crossing is the hallmark of Jesus' politics. Boundary crossing is the hallmark of Jesus' politics. Later in Luke's account of the gospel, Jesus will touch and cleanse lepers. He will eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners. He will heal on the Sabbath. Each one of those is a violation of the accepted boundaries of the day. Jesus lives and relates without regard to the established walls that separate us. This is a hard lesson for me and a hard lesson for us. It was for the people of Nazareth at this time that it was a hard message. Jesus' politics not only challenges and contradicts their politics, it filled them with rage. So much so that they were going to hurl him off the side of the cliff. Today's message is not about Jesus' rejection at Nazareth, or America, or anyone else. This is about the expansiveness and inclusiveness of divine favor. This is about the power of Jesus' politics to overcome border-based politics. It means that nothing can separate us from the love and divine favor of God in Christ Jesus. Regardless of the barriers we face or the boundaries that have enclosed us, the divine favor still breaks through. It also means we ought to be setting barriers between the divine favor and anyone else. For most of us, I suspect, it means we might need to check our own politics. Let's not be Nazareth. Let's not demand Jesus go our way. Let's cross some borders and go with Jesus on his way. What border do you need to cross to go with Jesus on this way? That's not just a question for you. It's a question I must answer also. It's a question that St. Peter's must answer. It's a question our country must answer. Amen. I look forward to talking to each of you after today's service.